Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we're going to be talking about the curse of the vagabond. In Genesis chapter 4 in the Bible, there is an interesting story. It's the story of Cain and Abel, the first murder ever talked about in the Bible. Abel made an offering to the Lord of his firstlings of his flock of sheep, which was accepted by God, but Cain's, of vegetation, because he tilled the ground, was not. Cain became angry, and he killed his brother Abel. What I want to talk about is what happened next. We know the word says in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And Abel's blood cried out to God from the ground. So God confronted Cain about what he had done. Genesis 4:7 says, "If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and to you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him." Verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." In other words, you can't lie and cover it up, Cain. Your brother's blood has a voice of its own. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." This verse 12 in Genesis 4 is the first mention of vagabond in the Bible. "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." By the way, the spirit of murder that was on Cain, you know, he committed a murder, so the demon was on him, passed generationally to his grandson Lamech. We can see that in Genesis 4:23. "And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." So he had committed a murder. But back to the curse we were talking about. When God spoke, verses 11 and 12, he cursed Cain for killing Abel. Verse 11, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Okay, I've been studying these verses and researching the vagabond curse for weeks now. There are two Hebrew words that are translated vagabond in the scriptures. We'll start there. I don't speak Hebrew, so I won't try to pronounce these two words. I'll just tell you about them. One is Strong's number 5110, and it is also found in 1 Kings 14:15. "For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger." And in this verse, it was the same word was translated scatter, I believe. Okay, 51:28, and this one also means wander. Psalm 59:15, "Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied." Numbers 32:13, "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. Now that was the Israelites, "until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed," meaning they had died. Now I read you these because if we read, we want to define something in Scripture, we define it using other Scriptures. Amos 8:12, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Psalm 109:10. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Psalm 107:27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Okay, so let me backtrack a minute before I get way off track here. I looked at the commentary in the Jewish Study Bible on Genesis 4, verse 5. But to Cain and his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the commentary said, you know, I always wondered, okay, I understand that we're supposed to give, you know, back then they were supposed to give an offering that included blood, okay? But in Genesis, it had not been specified yet that we know of. And I didn't understand if Cain gave what he had, why that was not acceptable to God. And this explains it. I finally get it. The commentary says, in this text, the emphasis falls not on the reasons for God's preference, Abel's offering over Cain's, but on Cain's fatal and culpable refusal to reconcile himself to it. In other words, Cain just refused the fact that God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. Instead of doing what he should have done, what should Cain have done? He should have, number one, he should have repented and said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. What kind of offering am I supposed to bring? He should have had a desire to please the Lord. And he should have said, because of the verse that says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And to you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. I'm going to read you a real good translation of that verse here. I looked at several translations. This translation is from a Bible called the Expanded Bible for Genesis 4:7. And I like what it says because it explains it so much better. If you do things well, correctly, appropriately, I will accept you. But if you do not do them well, correctly, appropriately, sin is ready to attack you, crouching at the door. Sin desires to control you, but you must rule over it. Isn't that a good translation of that? So Cain should have said, okay, Lord, how do I get my attitude right and avoid sin? Instead, he got angry at Abel, and he stayed angry, and so he began to hate Abel, and that led to the spirit of murder having access to him, and he murdered his own brother. By the way, that verse in Genesis is the first mention of sin, and the way it's translated, it actually compares it to a wild animal that's waiting to attack. And I really like that comparison, because that is exactly how the demons are. They are waiting all the time to attack us and to make us their slaves. And our attitudes and our motives determine whether they can or not, don't they? And by the way, in case you don't know this, in Luke 11:50, the Bible calls Abel a prophet. It says, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. The verse before says that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Interesting. Okay, so what I want you to get from that is, I don't think it was Cain's sacrifice that was displeasing so much as it was his attitude and his motives behind it. And interestingly enough, as I'm studying to do this show this morning in my prayer time, the Lord gave me a word for all of us that is about looking inside ourselves at our attitudes and our thoughts and looking for sin. I want to read the word that the Lord just gave me this morning called first, for those who don't have access to the internet right now to hear it. My children must look inside themselves for what is going wrong in their lives. Many of you have sinful thoughts and attitudes you have ignored for years. Is your heart filled with pride, or religious pride, or lust, or greed, unbelief? How can I bless you when this is so? You will find the answer in my word, in spending time with me, real time, not a few minutes a day. Do not forget me, my children. I must be first in your lives. I want the first of your time, the first of your thoughts, to be first in your heart, first in all you do. I am the Lord. As always, the text of any prophetic word the Lord gives me can be found at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Okay, so now let's look at some other scriptures. Psalm 109, verse 3. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Cain did this. He did this to Abel. And verse 5 says, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And verse 6 says, set thou a wicked man over him and let Satan stand as his right hand. Is that not sin crouching at the door? Verse 10, let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Verse 16, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. That's a person who's extremely negative. He delighted not in blessing. He loved cursing. Our mouths are wells of either blessing or cursing. Is that not true? That's someone who has a negative attitude like Cain had. Okay? I believe that Psalm 109 tells us a lot about the curse of the vagabond and how it got there. Okay? And the things that it causes. They rewarded evil for good. Now that's what Cain did. He rewarded Abel evil for good. And there's another scripture in the Bible that says if you reward good with evil, that destruction will not depart from your house. Abel loved his brother Cain, but Cain hated him. Let his children be continually vagabonds. Okay, so that shows that the curse is generational. And beg. This curse, the curse of the vagabond, is connected with poverty. Let me show you how. When God spoke the curse, first he said, and now art thou cursed from the earth. Now what that means is you're driven from your homeland, okay? You're driven from your homeland. You don't have a home. You're driven away from that land. Cain was driven away from that land. He lived in the land of Nod. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, okay? That's how they got food. They did their, they tilled the ground and grew stuff, okay? What it's saying is you're not going to be able to grow anything to eat. That's poverty, y'all. That is poverty. Straight up poverty and homelessness. This curse is linked to provoking the Lord to anger, where it is the word number 5110, 1 Kings 14:15. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed shaken in the water, and he shall root up, okay, that's Israel, out of this good land, okay? So he drove them from the land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, okay? Scatter is one of the meanings of the word vagabond in the Bible. Because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord anger. They made their groves, which was worshiping other gods, okay? And in Numbers 32:13, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. That was when they were negative and complaining and murmuring. The curse of the vagabond is connected to negativity. It is connected to complaining. It is connected to angering the Lord in those ways. Okay? And it brings absolute poverty and homelessness or a continual wandering. I promise you, I am absolutely 100% certain this curse was on my ex-husband. The last year we were married, we moved 4 times in 1 year. That is brutal, y'all. Moving once is brutal, but we moved 4 times in 1 year. And for no good reason. Okay, it's connected to not being able to find the Lord or get his word. Amos 8:12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro, back and forth, to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Psalm 107:27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. We all know what it feels like to be at our wit's end, right? Okay, so let's talk about what a vagabond is. For anybody that doesn't know, tumbleweeds here in the Southwest, they're more than just a Western cliche or a Hollywood movie prop. They're real. They aren't exactly blowing across my front yard here in the Dallas area, but they are out there and they are real. I saw them all over Western Oklahoma and they were very commonplace. Tumbling and blowing across roads and parking lots like dusty travelers in a hurry to get someplace. One business I knew in Oklahoma collected them, sprayed them white, and decorated them with lights for Christmas. I thought that was kind of cool. So what is a vagabond? The literal definition of a vagabond is a person without a permanent home who moves from place to place, aimless, drifting, irregular in course or behavior, unpredictable. Not too different from the tumbleweed, which, by the way, is any of the various densely branched annual plants that break off from the roots at the end of the growing season and are rolled about by the wind. Rolled about by the wind, drifting aimlessly. We know by John 3:8 that the wind will blow wherever it pleases, and by Ecclesiastes 8:8 that no man has power over the wind to contain it. Let's go a little deeper, all the way down to the roots. If you look in any dictionary, you'll find a whole bunch of different definitions for the word root, but I just want to talk about one. What is a root? An essential part or element, the basic core. An essential part or element. To find that essential part, that essential element, we turn not to the pages of the dictionary, but the pages of the Bible. We turn to God's Word. In John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then John 1:3-4, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He, the Word, is living. The Word is alive, and His Word is essential to our life. It is essential to our living. It is essential to our very being that our life is rooted in His Word, that His Word is rooted in us. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. Starting in verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. When the disciples asked Jesus about this parable, he told them, "The secret to the kingdom of God has been given to you." We as believers know that the secret is really no secret at all. It's his word. Jesus went on to explain, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, like a tumbleweed. And so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The spirit of offense leads to anger, which leads to bitterness, which leads to hatred, which is the same as murder, and unforgiveness. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now let's go back a second to verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We see a perfect example of this in Mark 11:12-14, where Jesus, being hungry, saw a fig tree that was in leaf and went to see if it had any fruit. When he reached the tree, he found it only had leaves. Normally, a fully leafed tree would have fruit, but this one had none, and because of this, Jesus cursed the tree. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. We know, too, by his word in Hebrews 6:8, that the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. That danger is real. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it wasn't doing what it was created to do. It had become unfruitful. The curse is real, and that unfruitfulness is, I believe, part of the curse of the vagabond, a curse that leads with the wind blowing and rolling one about aimlessly, like that tumbleweed which breaks off at the root, like seed sown among thorns, hearing the word, but allowing the worries of our lives to choke the word and break it off at the root, or the sun to scorch the leaves, causing it to wither, because there is no root. Because we are not rooted enough in the word, because they have not accepted the word. Mark 4:20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. It isn't just about hearing it or reading it. It's digging down deep in the good soil and rooting yourself there so deeply that the Son of God himself gives you light, gives you life, and gives you the strength to resist the strongest wind. He gives you a permanent home, a permanent place in the kingdom. It should be noted here that even though we may have broken off or come under a curse, we as Christians still belong to the parent tree. We have there a permanent home. We always have a home in him. Matthew 15:13 says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thankfulness is the exact opposite of that negative, complaining, murmuring attitude, isn't it? Okay, so to summarize, we've connected the curse of the vagabond to being negative and complaining and murmuring all the time, to returning evil for good, to not extending mercy, and to not being rooted in the Lord, which can cause all of those things. The curse of the vagabond brings, among other things, unfruitfulness in your life, great wandering and aimlessness, an inability to hear the word of the Lord, open doors to all kinds of demons, and poverty, having little or nothing to show for all your hard labor. So, we know what to do with curses. Let's break it. Y'all follow me in this prayer if you want to break the curse of the vagabond off your life. I'm going to break it off my life because I believe that it had access to me through my ex-husband, and it might have even been on my father. I see signs that it was on my own father. Father, I come before you now, and I repent, Father, for the sins of my father and forefathers of not reconciling themselves to your will, the sin of provoking your anger, of being angry and offended and negative at those who did right and were accepted by you. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the vagabond off of my life forever. I command it to become as dust under my feet and to become as naught in my life, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command the demons of offense, anger, hatred, murder, vagabond, wanderer, roaming, sorrow, fugitive, and stubbornness to be bound, to come out of me right now, and to go immediately into the abyss in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for helping every listener to become rooted in your word. Lord, give us a love for your word, a hunger for your word, Lord, that we will delve deep into it every single day and grow deep roots where we never have to fear the wind. In Jesus' name I pray. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a really fabulous week. God bless you. If you have an Android phone, don't forget to download the Wings Radio app for Android from the Google Play Store. Bye now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. or by mail at Glenda Linkus, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Followers of Jesus sense something big is about to happen. How we all would like a tangible sign happening now, which directly connects the timing to His return. There is, revealed in a 2,500-year-old prophecy to America and explained in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming, is that connection. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning. Are you one of many single Christians believing for a godly mate? God is able, so why hasn't He sent them to you? Unknowingly, you may be working against God. He brought Glenda the perfect mate after 16 long, lonely years of believing. In the ebook, Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate, Glenda shares the keys God gave her. Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate by Jerry and Glenda Linkus, only $2.99 at Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com. Haven't you waited long enough? Get Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate. Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com.